You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
So some of the things that we're seeing, that I'm seeing, is, you know, there just a, you know, great awakening, revival so large that, you know, God is gathering the nations to come. And one of the things the Lord showed me about the region that we're in, calling the glory zone from Destin to Mississippi, the whole Gulf Coast area, that God has just shown that He's got something special that He's going to do. You know, we have revival here in 1995, led by a spiritual father of mine, Pastor John Kilpatrick, and that it touched the world, but it's like this region it didn't touch. This region didn't respond to it, yet the world was being touched. And that then we had the Mobile Bay revival that took place, and God's been moving. But a big move of God is coming to where, you know, it's going to take us all working side by side to minister to hundreds of thousands at the same time coming. And that at the same time, what's going to happen is probably great tribulation to cause a shaking and quaking and break up the soil. But at the same time, also a wealth transfer to be able to bring in the harvest. So all this is going to happen at the very same time. And the Lord has shown me that that great wealth is coming to be able to put into the His whistle. God's got a whistle. He said He blows it and He gathers the nations. And so He's going to blow that whistle, and they're going to come from everywhere. And we have to be ready for it.
We have to be ready.
And one thing that that I don't believe that we're, as a matter of fact, the Lord spoke to me and showed me that we're not ready for it. One way you know we're not ready for it is because we can't handle great wealth. I mean, God's been giving His people for years great wealth, and it just goes through their lives, and they don't understand why they don't have. And that He wants to prepare us to handle that. Because it takes a lot to be on television around the world. It takes a lot to send evangelists around the world. It takes a lot to bring a people to a place, or just to get her off the streets and to do different things, whatever it is. And so, I mean, even at Brownsville, when we were there during the Brownsville revival, it took a lot of, you know, people were coming by the thousands and coming and coming out, which is a beautiful thing. So speaking of that, what are you seeing in the context of that? Because what I'm seeing, the Lord's showing me, it seems like it's all going to happen at the same time. You know, His glory is going to be outpoured. Once His glory, I mean, there's nothing like the glory of God. And that at that point, everybody has a desire to give, but the thing the Lord showed me is we're not ready for that, which means it would be a momentary move of God. It wouldn't be lasting because we didn't prepare ourselves for what's to come.
I want to share something with you that I believe is very prophetic. I'm not a prophet. I'm an evangelist, but I do believe this is prophetic. I was out on Pensacola Beach, and I was walking the beach, and I saw a tidal wave. It was nearly a mile high, heading right towards Pensacola Beach. And as, as I'm watching this tidal wave coming, I knew it was a vision, so there was no fear in it. I knew this was a dream. I knew this wasn't real. But as I saw this tidal wave coming, I was able to nearly like have an eagle's view of the map of the United States, watching this tidal wave coming in from the Gulf. And it stretched from the Gulf all the way, this wave covered all the way up until it hit Kentucky for whatever reason. But it went all the way to Kentucky. And this tidal wave just flooded every state between here and Kentucky. And it was this massive wave. And then I started praying about what that meant. And I feel like there could be someone listening in. And this is for somebody here. And I believe it's prophetic. But there's somebody here listening in, and you're like a Joseph. You had a vision when you were a young man, and your family resisted, rejected, rebuked, laughed at you, said that that could never happen, and even threw you into a pit, put you in a volatile place, and then maybe even felt bad about putting you there and sold you into education so you could get a job working. Maybe the job you're in right now is you feel like you're a slave to your job. You're not happy with what you're doing in your occupation. You're doing it because that's basically what you're doing, whatever that occupation is, and you don't like it. And you, maybe even now you're dealing with people that are accusing you of falsehood, of doing wrong things, like Joseph was accused by Potiphar's wife. And I want you to know that there's going to be seasons like those in our lives. And maybe those that are listening on, maybe for someone else, you feel like you're beyond that. You've outgrown that time in your life, and right now you're in the jail cell. But everywhere that you go, you've experienced financial and favor, positional favor. Mm-hmm. This favor is wherever you go, it seems like you just, you turn this way, you favor, you end up in this situation and there's favor. Well, Joseph had the keys of the cells in the jail. Right. He was the keeper of the jail, even though he was a prisoner mm-hmm. himself. And there was two men in with him that were of very high prominence. And one of the men came to Joseph and said, I've had this dream and I want to share it with you. And Joseph interpreted the dream for the cupbearer and said, this dream means you're going to go right back to where you were removed from. You're going to become the cupbearer to Pharaoh, mm-hmm. which was a very elitist position because he was the one that tested the drink before Pharaoh would drink it, which meant you had to be a very trusted person and a person of prominence and wealth and prestige and closeness and even have influence over Pharaoh if you're tasting his. Mm. And so when the other man that of prominence was there listening to the favorable interpretation of the dream, he said to Joseph, will you interpret my dream as well? Because I want to get the same favor that you are pronouncing.
I want a piece of that.
I want a piece of that. And
little did he know.
Well, we have a lot of preachers that will only cater to that message. They'll only speak that message of favor, blessing. You're going to be put back in your position. You're going to get 10 times your amount. You'll be put right back. But
everyone's
the thing is
good.
About it is, if you're not spirit-led, then you're carnally led. And a carnal-led man will always preach to the pocketbook, will always preach to the donor, to the giver.
Wow,
we got to have men that will preach to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance. Right. And in that moment, Joseph interpreted his dream and followed the leading of the Spirit and said to this man, it's not going to fare well for you. You're going to die. You're going to be impaled. It's over for you.
Yeah.
We need men that are willing to listen to the Spirit and preach what the Holy Spirit is telling them to preach.
And it happened.
Everything happened.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing about the story, and this might be for you or someone else, is Joseph, the Bible says, was forgotten by that cupbearer for 2 years. Mm. You know, Joseph in his mind was thinking, man, this cupbearer is going to tell Pharaoh and I'm going to get released. But the cupbearer forgot about Joseph for 2 years. And there are times in our lives when we feel forgotten. Mm. We feel forgotten. We feel like, God, where are you in this? I feel forsaken.
Right.
I helped so-and-so out. Nothing came of it. I was a blessing to so-and-so. Mm. Nothing came of it. Why am I sowing seed in these places and not seeing any type of return? Mm. And you're feeling forgotten. But the whole time, what God is working in you is a dependency on Him so that you only glory in Him when you get to where God wants to bring you. Because God doesn't wish or will poverty on anyone. Mm. God has only abundance for His children. And heaven speaks of that abundance and where we're going. But to get to that place, we've got to be willing to go on that journey with Him. And when the cupbearer hears of the dream that Pharaoh had, the cupbearer says, I know a man who can interpret this dream for you. I remember a man who was faithful to God, who was committed to God, who wasn't just willing to preach what everyone wanted to hear, but he was willing to preach the whole counsel of Scripture, whether people gave to it or held back from it.
Right.
A man that was different. He didn't just speak to those that tickled the ear. He spoke to those that wanted to hear the truth.
Right.
Joseph. Yeah. And Joseph is called into a position of favor and stands before Pharaoh and interprets Pharaoh's dream by saying to Pharaoh, there's going to be 7 years. And this could be prophetic to someone, but there's going to be 7 years of prosperity. And with Donald Trump hopefully getting another 4 years, there could be another time ahead of prosperity and of favor. And in that time of prosperity and Pharaoh favor, Joseph said to Pharaoh, build storehouses of bread. Don't squander it. Don't buy sailboats. Don't buy that extra condo. Don't buy that mansion that you don't need. Don't buy that private jet that's going to get you all over the place. Mm. Put your resources into something that will go way beyond you and have legacy to it, because you don't want it just to be squandered on what you want selfishly. Be open to what God would tell you to do with those resources. And Pharaoh was humble enough to look at Joseph and say, you're the man.
Right.
And Joseph's response was powerful because he said to Pharaoh, I'm not the man.
Right.
God is the man. And I think God is bringing all of us on that journey of pits, of slave camps, of employment situations we don't want to be in.
Betrayal,
being forgotten.
He's still staying faithful to his minister. And
still being faithful and committed and pressing through it all. Mm. But I'm telling you, God is working character into you because he's going to give to you a position of favor that you're going to fund and resource these storehouses, and we desperately need storehouses. Mm. Mm. But what are the storehouses for us? We know that we don't need physical storehouses. When Jesus went to the cross, his purpose was to tear down the physical bricks and mortar building that everyone used to go to meet with God. Right now, we've bought into thinking that God still lives in bricks and mortar, but he doesn't. When Christ went to the cross, 70 years later, when Titus of Rome came in, he destroyed the temple, and that temple is still in ruins to this very day to tell us today we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us.
Yes.
So what we need to be investing into is not structures. Mm. We need to be investing into preachers and evangelists and ministers and preachers and invest into physical storehouses, raising up this generation. So when the famine comes, there will be storehouses that will preach not to the pocketbook, preach not to the donor, preach not to the giver, but preach the authority with the authority of Scripture, its entirety, and the whole council. We need full gospel preachers that are not bought by the purse, are not bought by the dollar, not bought by anyone. They're bought by the blood. They're blood bought and preaching the entire council of Scripture. If we can see that in our country, we will see young people and young women and young men flooding the church like we've never seen before. They'll see something so different. They'll see a man not bought by money. They'll see a man bought by the blood. So I want to encourage you, you know, if you're Joseph, invest into storehouses, invest into people, invest into TV shows like this, invest into evangelists, invest into people, physical people, and we will see storehouses.
We think about it. We're reaching around the world. We have an audience around the world. But the truth is, without the person who invests in what we're doing, we have businesses that stand with us, we have individuals who stand with us in Georgia. That we're reaching around the world, we have an audience around the world. But the truth is, without the person who invests in what we're doing, we have businesses that stand with us, we have individuals who stand with us in Georgia. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't happen. There's no way that a plane doesn't just fly you somewhere without them saying, it's going to be a ticket for you to go there.
That's exactly right.
And that we can invest in the kingdom of God. Yeah. You know, and that's what the thing the Lord showed me was, is that one way we're not ready, we don't understand that great wealth is to be able to advance the kingdom.
Yeah.
It's not to buy more chocolate bars.
Right.
Because this is so fleeting, this life is so fleeting. But also you said, you know, what God showed you about this this wave. I want to show you where the Lord spoke to us specifically about that wave. Mm. And we have a video we're going to show you right now. You're going to see it.
Wow.
But the Lord spoke to a couple of us about this wave and has shown us this humongous wave and how people are responding to it and what's God going to do. And I believe it's obviously, you know, it's a great wave of a revival, but a great wave of revival also means that a great wave of destruction for those who don't want God, who are, you know, captive of that thing and they don't want to go after God. But you got to see this. It's so powerful. It's going to confirm. You know what God has just shown you.
Wow. As a matter of fact,
let's take a look at it now.
I was standing on a beach, and there was this huge wave coming, probably like 10 stories high or something. It was huge. And I'm just standing there, and it's like the wave is stopped at the shoreline, but the water is still moving. It's like constantly flowing, but it's the wave is just standing there waiting. And I see in the water, there's like people swimming in the wave and boats sitting. Like I remember boats being in the wave and like on top of the wave, just floating and doing whatever.
Like 10 stories up.
And of course they look really tiny. So all these little, I just remember little white boats all in the thing. And then I'm standing on the beach and people are like partying on the beach. And like I remember I could just see through the houses that were on the beach, and people were partying in the houses, you know, like drinking and dancing and all that kind of stuff. Like they didn't even know that the wave was there waiting to crash onto their houses or in their parties and whatever. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to run because I'm about to die. Like I remember thinking that. So I literally start running and I'm like trying to tell people, but nobody's paying attention. So I just start running and going. And then
when I had this dream,
I just remember the emotion of it, and the exhilaration of it. It was just, my heart was just like pounding out of my chest when I had this dream. In my dream, I was actually surfing. And in natural, I don't know how to surf ever. I think I tried it once and looked really bad doing it. And matter of fact, I look like these guys in my dream. In this dream, I'm just surfing. I mean, I'm just ripping it up, just going back and forth, just cutting and jumping, like you see on television.
How big are the waves?
And in this particular part of the dream, the waves were maybe 20 or 30 feet, maybe. And while I'm surfing, there's actually people in the water swimming. And I felt like it was people at the church, part of VFN. And I'm just bouncing around them while they're watching me surf. That part of the dream ends. Then it shifts. Now I'm standing on this giant seawall. It was like 100 feet tall. When I say a seawall, it was like a man-made concrete brick wall. And at the bottom of it was the seashore, kind of like you see in California where it's mountains, but this was actually a man-made wall. And I could see the horizon of the ocean. It just went off for miles. So where I'm standing, I'm on the seawall, and around me is the ground, so there's grass and stuff. And then all of a sudden, as I'm looking at the horizon, I see this gigantic wave coming towards me. Huge. It comes all the way up to where I'm standing. Like I said, I was on the 100-foot wall, so the wave came all the way up to where I was standing. So it was level with me. But on the crest of this wave was Tracy, looking at me with just, I can't explain the look on her face. It was just like, dear God, I'm,
So the crest
where
is
am
like
I?
The top of the wave, very peak of the wave?
Very peak of the wave.
Of 100-foot wave?
The 100-foot wave.
Tracy was on it?
She was on it and some other people I didn't recognize.
What was she doing?
They were just in the water swimming. Or being carried, I don't know about swimming. They just went wherever this wave was going. So just as it rolls up nice and slow, then it begins to roll back up.
Is that awesome or what, man? You're looking at, you're talking about, what you saw this wave. You didn't know that God's been showing us this wave coming in of his glory. I mean, does that kind of bear witness to what some of the things you're seeing?
100%.
Wow.
It actually gives detail to what I saw, because I did see things in this wave, like what they were seeing, people were in this wave.
Dots. They're like dots so big, they were like just small.
I had no
things.
Explanation, but it was so huge that when I had this eagle view, it was nearly like I flew above and I could see down on the map.
Wow.
And I saw this wave extending all the way to Kentucky. It was, that's a pretty long stretch of wave, but it was just, I don't know why Kentucky, of all the states in the country, but I saw Kentucky written down on the map. I couldn't see any other state names between here and there, and I don't know the geography. I'm from Ireland, so I don't know what states are in between here and Kentucky. I just know it's far away, but it was Kentucky.
Yeah, there's several moves of God taking place in Kentucky, and it makes a lot of sense to what we know that's happening in regards to that. A couple of revivals, and I think there's something happening in Kentucky that always God is moving. There's pockets, there's like portholes or something going on where God is moving in Kentucky, and a lot of people from Kentucky come here and kind of back and forth, and so we're seeing that. So we believe that, where, God is gathering the nations to come to be impacted in the glory zone, that once touched by God, they will go back into their cities, nations, and carry what God is giving, the carriers of what God is doing.
Yeah.
And then they'll go out, the four ends are gather them, but then they'll go back out again.
Yeah.
And the wave of God's, I remember when the glory of God came, at Brownsville Revival, God poured out Father's Day 1995. Mm-hmm. It was like a river of God's low current. Imagine water being electricity. It was like a low current wave of God's glory. Mm-hmm. And you could just feel it. Well, this is like a wave of God's glory just overtaking.
Yeah.
That's exciting, exhilarating, but also, it can be very costly. Being prepared for God. Talking about being all in, you need to be all in, right?
Yeah.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the Data Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.